Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Comic Movie Universe, aka the CMU, where we talk about the latest in comic movie news, and I give my opinion on any topics or different things we like to talk about. I'm your host, Terry, and in today's episode, I will be going into some of my theories about these movies coming up and where I see them headed. But before we get into those theories, I wanted to backtrack a little bit on the Ant-Man trailer that I talked about yesterday on my last episode and just my reaction to it. So what happened, like it happens so often with me, I get to talking and I kind of forget the main points that I wanted to say in the first place. While I still stand by my evaluation and my, idea of what the trailer looked like, I did miss some key points that I did want to throw back out there. First off, one huge point that I didn't mention, I don't like the uniform. I don't really like the way when they had the one shot with Paul Rudd standing full size in his uniform before he shrank, I didn't like the way it looked. It just looked like the belt was on his belly button and it wasn't on his waist, and his shoulders just looked bigger than the rest of his body. Like, it didn't look right. It didn't give me the Ant-Man feel that I thought I was going to get. I don't really know exactly. It just looks so unproportionate. And so that kind of killed that for me. I like the color scheme. I like, the kind of metal look through it. It's not spandex, really. It's just leather and metal. So I like that. But just the way it looked altogether, I wasn't feeling it. And then his helmet. So a lot of people I've been hearing react to it really like that you can see Paul Rudd's eyes with those red kind of tinted lenses, but I don't like that. I don't care that you can see his eyes. It's just maybe it's the color red that I didn't like. It just makes that helmet look so much more weird. Like, I'm looking at some of the older Ant-Man and, some of the recent cartoon ones, and I'm fine with the, metal contraption coming down to his mouth, kind of like Bane, but it's really for him to talk to ants. But when you go to the eyes, it's either just whited out or, blacked out where you can't really see his eyes. And I don't care if you saw his eyes, but you could have just made it clear. I know it's probably sound nitpicky, but the red lens they chose, I really didn't like it. It looked just kind of tacky because they were just trying to force it to make it match the rest of the suit. And I don't know. It just looked weird. And maybe I don't like seeing his eyes. Maybe I did want that to kind of be blacked out so it's just kind of like, an ant. Well, the ant have the real black pupils and they don't, because it makes it look more like a regular helmet that he just threw on. You know what I mean? That you can see him like think of Iron Man. If you see Tony's eyes out of his suit, now it's not really so much, a helmet, part of a uniform. It's just kind of weird. It's kind of like a mask or something. So I actually don't like that you see his eyes. I want it to kind of be blacked out or whited out where it just looked like, okay, boom, this is Ant-Man. So those two things really didn't do it for me as far as the way his uniform looked. Secondly, another big part is the shrinking. And I talked about this, what I wanted to see out of the trailer. When I talked about that, I said I would be surprised if they showed him shrinking, because maybe they wanted to keep the visual effect a secret. But this came out, gave it to us, showed us what it looked like. And I didn't like it. It was just first of all, Hank Pym, or not even Hank Pym, Ant-Man, usually he has like some belt or, thing that he turns, and then that kind of shoots up through this thing that he wears on his chest, and then he either goes big or he goes small. And this one looks like he's just pushing some button, like he has a jetpack, and it looks like he starts shaking like he's about to fly, but then instead he just pops down and becomes an ant size. I hated it. I don't like the way it looks. That was really big for me. What was the visual effect going to be for him shrinking? And I do not like it. Again, I've heard a lot of people reacting saying that they did like it. There's a good amount of people said they didn't like it. I hated it. Like, I would have been fine with the cheesy, kind of you know, where they show a bunch of small, and they show his body in a bunch of small little, and as he's, I don't know how to explain it, but he's turning into an ant. So it's like, boom, Ant-Man. I would have been fine with that. But no, it's just kind of like, oh, he's shaking like he has rockets in his boots. He's about to fly, and then boom, he's small. I hated that. So that didn't sell me. And then lastly, and I saw this a lot about throughout the internet, the visual effects once he was ant size, like when it showed him riding the ant, it looked so blurry. Now that could just be where he was, but it looked blurry and just like ugly and just real like late night Tokyo looking with all the blurry lights in the background. I hated it. I didn't like it. I wanted them to create kind of a world like, what was that movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like when they were small and they were in the garden, like create a whole world around us with the sets. Now, maybe they did that with some of the other scenes, and that was just, you know, one scene, and he was somewhere with a lot of lights. If not, I'm going to be really disappointed in how quickly this movie came out, especially after changing directors. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't do a great job with the visual effects. So that's a little disappointing. I didn't like that whole, you know, the whole CGI and effects they had. So maybe it's just a tease and, you know, there's better to come. And sometimes with these first movies, you're not going to knock it out of the park right away. Even if you do, you're still going to tweak it going into a sequel, and there will be a sequel. So if they maybe have some good parts, then maybe they can build on that. But hopefully this movie isn't just pure crappy visual effects. Honestly, like I said, I still want to see the movie. I'm still excited for it, but those were all very disappointing. But I'm going to go because I want to see how this links up into the movie. Now, just real quick, I do want to say that although this movie has these problems, and if it doesn't do well, that's fine. Thor didn't do well. Captain America, number one, didn't do well. Like, nobody care about those movies. It's all about the crossover. So just get those thoughts out there. So let's continue on with Ant-Man and go into my first theory and just talking about where the Ant-Man fits. Now, if you listen to the last few episodes, I kind of started hinting on this. It's very much about who is Scott Lang, and it's very much about who is Hank Pym and how he was the first Avenger. So we've already been told that he's labeled as the first or one of the founding Avengers. So what we're going to see is Hank Pym was Ant-Man back in the day. They'll probably have Peggy Carter in the Avengers, kind of like a Black Widow. That is kind of where it stops for me. I'm not exactly sure who else they would put. I mean, the Wasp, Janet Van Dyne, who is his wife, who they said is already dead in this new Ant-Man movie. So they'll probably flashback show her. She probably was the Wasp. And then her daughter, Hope Van Dyne, played Evangeline Lilly. She's going to become the Wasp. So those three, I don't know who else you have because Cap was frozen, so he wasn't an Avenger. I don't know where they're going to go with that, but we are going to find out that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been working on this long before the current Avengers. So that's where this movie is going to fit in the MCU. As I said before, this movie takes place some years before the Avengers fought in New York with the aliens. So that's going to kind of introduce Scott Lang and his way of, they'll probably put him in the next Avengers at some point and kind of, you know, well, we need as much help as we can get. Or they'll probably tie him into the Civil War aspect. Either way, right now we just establishing that he is out there. And so his ties will most likely come from Hank Pym if they don't kill him or anything. But, you know, Hank Pym probably will just, you know, tell Nick Fury, like, okay, I have a guy who can do some things and help you out your team. So something along those lines, but this is really going to connect us back to the past. Exactly why they're connecting us back to the past, I'm not sure. I kind of feel as if, you know, this whole connection to S.H.I.E.L.D. and all this history that Scott Lang is going to know, that he kind of becomes that Captain America figure once he leaves, as far as he's that person that has ties to the S.H.I.E.L.D. and to the superhero world. So, you know, well, Captain America's not really that now after what happened with S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think Ant-Man might become that, you know, that guy that kind of leans with the government once we go past Phase 3. So, sticking with Marvel and Avengers, my largest theory, so hear me out on this one. I've been saying this for a while, and I think this is going to happen. So we've been told that the Avengers roster is going to be shooken up after Age of Ultron. And so a lot of people have been speculating, you know, who's going to die or who's going to move on or quit the Avengers or, you know, what are they going to do? Unfortunately, with the movie lineup being announced, we can easily say who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Captain America. It's not going to be Iron Man because they're going to be in Civil War. It's not going to be Thor because he has a third movie coming up in Phase 3. And so that leaves us with Black Widow, Hawkeye, and the Hulk. So out of those three, a lot of people believe it's Hawkeye because Jeremy Renner, he's doing different things, and a lot of people feel like he doesn't really care too much about this superhero universe, I guess, through interviews or whatever. So that's a possibility. A lot of people think Scarlett Johansson is a lot to stay. But look at what she's doing. She got Lucy, even though it wasn't well received, she did good in it. A lot of people liked her. And now she just got hired for the lead in Ghost in the Shell, which is, I believe, an anime movie being adapted. So she's a high item. A lot of people want Scarlett Johansson. So to sit there and think that she's going to, you know, be tied up into Marvel Phase 4, I don't think so. I don't think she'll be sticking around. But, surprise, surprise, I really don't think that it's going to be Black Widow that ends up going. I'm looking at the Hulk. And I know a lot of people think, and they've told me, no way. You can't take the Hulk out. There's no, like, he's the best part of the Avengers. We love seeing the Hulk. We've been waiting for his movies all the way down the line. I get all that, but hear me out. So here's my theory. If you've seen the Age of Ultron trailer, which I don't know how you haven't seen it, we see the scene where the Hulk is battling Tony Stark in his Hulkbuster uniform. His suit. And so a lot of people just, Hulkbuster versus the Hulk, it's going to be a fight. Like, people just so stunned by the visual. But stop and think, why are they fighting each other? And so I believe that over the course of this movie, at some point, the Scarlet Witch, because the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to be bad, or at least pretending to be bad for the beginning of the movie. And so I think she is either going to whammy him, you know, mind control him, which is one of her powers, and cause him to, you know, start wreaking havoc. Or, you know, Hulk gets so upset to a point that he's wreaking havoc because although Bruce Banner can control him, when Hulk keeps getting mad, you know, it's hard to control him. So either that or, you know, something along those lines where maybe the Hulk is just fighting and he doesn't realize how much damage he's causing. Either way, I believe that the Hulk is going to do something so bad, like either kill a ally, like not a big, you know, Avenger ally, but maybe a police officer or something like that, or, you know, destroy something to the extent that the government wants him, you know, out. They want to get him under control. They don't trust him anymore. And so if you remember that scene where it was a quick scene in the Age of Ultron trailer where Bruce Banner is just sitting there on like a ship or whatever they are, they're sitting on a plane, and he's like, he's shirtless and he's shivering. He looks like terrified to death. So I believe Hulk did something terrible. Like, the Hulk did something bad. And I say the Hulk, you know, Bruce Banner didn't consciously do this. I think he killed somebody or, you know, destroyed something. Most likely from his tone and, you know, a reason to kick the Hulk out, it would probably have to be a death. He would probably have to kill somebody. So anyway, They go through the whole Ultron, you know, mess. But at the end of that movie, the census is Hulk's got to go. And so they kind of go through the comic storyline, which they drug him and then ship him out of space, put him on a ship and fly him out, send him out of space where he can't, you know, do damage or, you know, hurt anyone on the Earth because the Avengers had came to an agreement that he's just too out of control and that they can never really control his power. So they send him out to space thinking, you know, he won't do any damage there. And then, who's in space in Marvel? The Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm thinking Guardians of the Galaxy 2, maybe not during the movie, but as an end scene or probably right at the end. You know, could you imagine a nice little end credit scene where they're flying, they come across a crashed ship, they go to check it out, and who else do they find in there but Bruce Banner? And the reason this has to happen is because once the Avengers Infinity Wars comes around, Thanos is going to be the, you know, main villain. And there is no way the Avengers are beating him without the Hulk. There's no conceivable plot in which they don't beat him without the Hulk. And as I said before, in the Avengers Infinity Wars, the Avengers and the Guardians will cross over. There's 100% true, there's no way they don't cross over in the biggest, you know, world-threatening villain trying to stop them. Like, Thanos has been in their first movie, he's going to be in the Guardians' second movie. There's no way Thanos is going to attack Earth or attack the world and they're just going to sit by. And so we might get that crossover in part two. But whenever the Guardians show up, or maybe the Avengers go to the Guardians, however it happens, that's when they bring Bruce back. And he's the Hulk, and he teams up with them. They stop Thanos, or however that happens. And at the end of it, he says, you know, you guys didn't trust me. You betrayed me. And then he decides to go with the Guardians or at least take his own ship into space. So now this kind of rolls into my next theory. Hulk going into space signals what? Planet Hulk. Yes, I know the fans have been waiting for it. They've been waiting and waiting for a Hulk movie. Why doesn't the Hulk have a solo movie? Why doesn't the Hulk have a solo movie? Phase 3, we thought he was getting it. He's still in Avengers mode. I think that come Phase 4, that's when we see the Hulk get his own movies. Because think about it. In Phase 4, Robert Downey Jr. is gone. Chris Evans is gone. Chris Hemsworth is gone. And most likely Scarlett Johansson is gone. And so we know Chadwick Boseman is coming in as Black Panther, and Paul Rudd is Ant-Man now. We'll be getting a Ms. Marvel. The Inhumans don't really count. They're not going to be on Earth. But we'll be getting new people, but who's that main star, like Tony, like Iron Man was for this phase 1, 2, and 3? Who's that main star? It's got to be the Hulk. Everyone wants to see the Hulk. Mark Ruffalo, I believe, signed on for 6 or 7 movies. He's done the Avengers. That's it. He'll be in Avengers 2, and he'll be in Avengers 2, and then he'll be in Avengers Infinity War, and that counts as one movie. So he'll be in 3 movies. That's half his contract. So with the Hulk being in demand, with the rest of the stars leaving, the Hulk's going to be the star of Phase 4. And I think you kick that off with Planet Hulk. So he decides to leave the Earth. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't trust them. Goes, crash lands on this planet. Planet Hulk is basically about him crashing on a planet in which they make them fight like gladiators. And then the Hulk, of course, is probably the main attraction. So I'm not going to go too much into how that story goes because I don't want to spoil it. But that's why I think they're going with Phase 4. So, we'll see. And just a disclaimer, all these theories could be 100% wrong, and I just look stupid in the theater. Sorry, the theater. But that's okay, because we speculate. We're fans, and we get to do that. And so I'm not claiming this is 100% set in stone, but these are just my ideas, because Phase 4 really is going to be about a new group of stars, as your first group of stars kind of leave. Because they want to do other things. They don't want to get trapped in that machine, even though, like, Robert Downey Jr. found out, Tony Stark's never leaving. But, so, moving on to the next theory, where we jump over to Sony. The news yesterday that I talked about was that the first report about this casting company looking for extras for The Amazing Spider-Man 3, Sony's going ahead with Spider-Man 3, the report was that that was false. That report was falsely made up, and the company was false, and it was a big scam. And so with that being said, the doors are still wide open on what Sony will do with Spider-Man. Now, Sony is shooting something. I'm not sure if this was part of the fake report, but I've heard it somewhere that Sony is working on some project Spider-Man related, whether Sinister Six or have you, in Atlanta, Georgia, in the same area that the Avengers is shooting. Or the Avengers is wrapping. It might be the Civil War shooting, but Marvel's working down there in the same area that Sony's working down there. That's all I know. I'm not exactly sure which movie they're working on, but they're both in the same area. So one of the theories, and I guess this isn't technically mine, but one of the theories that's kind of gaining steam and that I think might be a little possible is that Sony is allowing Marvel to shoot their scenes with Spider-Man for the Civil War movie. Now, who's the actor? We have no idea. At this point, I'm pretty sure it's not Andrew Garfield because people would have spotted him quickly. So we're going to see exactly who they bring in as Spider-Man and if this is true. So if that is true, then they could be shooting his scenes for the Civil War movie coming up. And then that way, they kind of kill two birds with one stone, and Sony starts beginning filming their movie. Just a theory. We don't know if that's true. Could be total coincidence. Could be totally made up. But that's just one thing that I'm hearing. So I personally, my theory is that Sony will lend Spider-Man to Marvel just because there's no options. There's no other options. I mean, there are other options, but none as profitable as this one. Let Marvel build them up for you and then reap the glory. So we'll see how that one works out. Lastly, one of my theories that I've been talking about for a while, I'm going to continue to talk about because if I'm right, I'm the first one. You got to remember that. So one thing I've always talked about is this DC comic universe and that difference from Marvel, in which Marvel was so isolated with their films until they crossed over. Yes, the storyline weaved through every movie, but the characters didn't interact. There were no real true crossovers. See, what I call Avengers is a team-up. Batman vs. Superman, that's what I call a crossover, where, you know, one character crosses over with another one. So we haven't really seen that. Now, they're going to do that with Civil War, of course, as a reaction to DC, I believe. But up until now, they haven't done that. That's the difference, I think, with DC, especially because you're starting with a crossover. It kind of sets you up to say, okay, well, these characters, you know, interact with each other. You know, Batman goes from Gotham to Metropolis. Superman goes from Metropolis to Gotham to Central City. Flash, you know, goes from Central City into the Indian Ocean, I don't know. And, you know, all these other things. And so I really believe with the DCU coming out, we're going to see a lot of more crossovers or cameos, if you want to call them. Because, and that's one thing I talked about earlier with the superhero genre in general, is that when you continue to do these shared universes, I'm doing air quotes, people are going to ask, well, where is he at right now when you're doing a solo movie? When Thor is out there fighting, you know, to save the world, well, where's Tony Stark? Where's Bruce Banner? Why, you know, they were just teamed up in New York. Why are they not helping them out? And fans are going to continue to ask questions like that with these shared universes, especially the longer you go on. And so I think DC, if they're smart, and I think they are, I think they're going to start that early, in which you'll see a Green Lantern, you know, link up with a Flash in his movie, or you'll see a Superman come through the Aquaman movie. We will see Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, everybody in Batman vs. Superman, but that's just to establish them. Still technically a crossover, not really a team-up, but that's really to get them going, which is the opposite of what Marvel did. They got going in solo movies and went to a team-up. This is a crossover starting, you know, the roots of all these solo movies. And I don't think those roots are just going to break off and separate. I think they're going to weave through each movie. And I think we're going to see, you know, Batman probably show up in Suicide Squad. We might see a Joker pop up in, you know, someone else's movie as the villain. So I really think it's going to be a lot more like the TV show because especially with DC TV shows, they cross over all the time. Marvel, not so much, but DC, they always cross over. And you see it now, even with the live action, with the Arrow and the Flash. They always like to cross over. They are really, truly a shared universe. And so my theory is that we will see that. It might not be as highly publicized. It might just be a little surprise in the movie, a nice little cameo, a nice mention. But or maybe it is be a full-fledged, okay, co-star. Like I said before, not really with Ben Affleck so much because he's a big star and you got to pay him a lot for each movie. But Cavill, Godot, Ray Fisher, Momoa, Miller, they're all young. They're going to be cheap, so you can cross them over till the cows come home. So that's my theory with it. I really hope that one comes out true because that's going to be cool to see once we start seeing these movies. Get a lot more flexible and not just this movie is this movie, this movie is this movie, now we team up. I love Marvel. They've been doing a great job, but that's just level one. I think level two is when we really convince these actors to start being throughout all these movies. All right, so last few minutes for the fight of the day. Today's fight of the day is Wolverine versus Deadpool, Marvel on Marvel. So Wolverine from the X-Men, very famous, and Deadpool is from the Marvel Universe, has worked with Wolverine way back in the day in some comics. Both of them pretty much immortal. Wolverine has rapid healing in which he can heal quickly, quickly, quickly. So if you shoot him in the head, the bullet pop out and he'll be back in a few minutes and, you know, his whole body regenerates. Deadpool, the same thing. Deadpool's a little more advanced into the fact that he just doesn't die. I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe if you cut Wolverine's head off, he can die. But Deadpool, his head has been severed, and he still is alive. So Deadpool kind of just doesn't die, which makes this a very tough fight to hit. So I think this is kind of a who knocks who out and, you know, keeps going, not who kills who. Wolverine, we all know he has the his claws come out of his hands, made out of adamantium. That's his weapon. Deadpool, the weapon specialist. He has the double swords, the swordsman. He uses a lot of guns, all those things. He also can teleport, so that's very helpful. However, those guns and stuff don't really matter. It'll slow Wolverine down, but it won't stop him whatsoever. A lot of times it won't even phase him. The swords matter just because, you know, you could cut a limb off. It'll take time for him to regenerate it, just like Deadpool. However, Wolverine has his claws. He's very good with them, and they're unbreakable metal. So the swords, you know, if you're trying to have a sword fight with him, you won't get to him. I think he'll be good enough to defend that. So really this comes to, you know, the hand-to-hand combat and strategy. Both are soldiers for hire, pretty much. Both fought in wars, so they both really know how to fight. Deadpool being able to teleport, though, really makes it takes that advantage over the top. I think Wolverine's aggressive. He has the hand-to-hand combat. You know, he's going to try to stab Deadpool as much as he can. He's very violent. But Deadpool can fight. Great hand-to-hand combat also. But he can teleport. He can teleport. That's the winner right there. I got to take Deadpool because, you know, even and the environment doesn't matter what we're talking about. Big space, little space, high, low, doesn't really matter. Neither one can fly. This is kind of more of a hand-to-hand thing. Deadpool will use his guns, though. He will try to, you know, play the long-range game, but eventually it won't matter, and then Wolverine will get to him, and they'll have to fight it out. But the teleportation makes it a little more unpredictable to find Deadpool. And so with that being said, I really think he would just win because, you know, the strategy is going to play out over time. It's going to take a while to knock each other out. But Deadpool is going to have an upper hand with being able to surprise him like that. And if you surprise him and Wolverine stabs him, he'll be able to get back up. So I'm just taking Deadpool over that simple fact. All right, that's been the show today. Thanks for listening. If you like it, please hit that follow button. Thank you.